Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott Salford.
Josh, my friend, we tried recording this twice before, and the file decided to eat itself, which has only added to the anger of this video, because Gran Turismo 7 is in a hell of a state. Now, we'll break down all the different things that are happening in regards to the review bombing, the state of the game itself, the fact that it was offline for about 30 hours the last few days, because it seems like Sony are messing up what is otherwise a home run. This game reviewed very well. We enjoyed it quite a lot. We gave it a nice little review score, and it's enjoyable enough. Been playing quite a lot of it. What the hell's going on?
Well, Scott, a few days ago, as you may know, and as you alluded to there, Gran Turismo got a huge controversial update, and yeah, this essentially completely changed the grind in-game. As you know, in Gran Turismo games, you perform races, you compete in races to get currency, and you use that currency to buy cars. That has become even grindier over the past few years. Yeah, it should be. It should be a simple mathematical equation, but not. as picked up on GT Planet, they kind of broke down what the grind feels like now and how many hours it takes to unlock one of the top tier cars. So to unlock one of these cars, the site points out that it'll take 18 hours to get one car, which roughly translates to around 333 races. Now, to put this in context, pre-patch, it would have taken you around 10 hours to get one of these cars, and Gran Turismo Sport in that game, the previous installment, it would have taken around 10 hours as well to get a comparative car on that. So they've added essentially 8 hours to the grind, which cumulatively accounts for hundreds and hundreds more, well, 100 more races, essentially.
I think as well, the fact that they've ramped up, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is pushing people towards review bombing the game, because the, like Josh said, the amounts of the requirements here to get access to the top tier cars are insane, but also the actual payouts for the races themselves have been lowered to push you towards this this solution, let's say, to actually get your hands on some of the best cars in the game. Also, you know, the studio was out there talking about, like, trying to respond to all this stuff, just saying, like, well, all these cars cost a lot in real life, and we want our experience to mirror real-world pricing models, which is why we've ramped all this stuff up. Now, we'll get to how none of that was part of the marketing, or none of that was part of the review schedule, or the fact the way that we covered the game or anything like that. But also, people aren't trying to buy a real-life McLaren. People are trying to own the digital one. That's the whole point of buying the game.
100%, man. We don't work 40 hours a week to go home and put that money away to hopefully buy a supercar one day.
I want to live a digital
that
one.
I want to live that fantasy in my video games. I don't want to, I don't want the crushing reality of financial limitations.
It's like Forza Horizon 5
throughout.
Opens with like 4 or 5 supercars. It opens with them. And in this one, you start with like a Volvo for like 2 hours before you finally be able to get something that can actually take a corner at speed. Well, let alone getting a McLaren.
Well, this is the issue. You know, the issue here isn't necessarily just the grind. It's not just the 18 hours in and of itself. It's the fact that this has happened a few weeks after launch. It's the fact that this is a retroactive change that has made the game grindier, and it makes reviews like the one we did on this very couch outdated, and it makes me personally saying things like, oh, the grind's fine at the moment. It makes me look a bit like a mug. You know what I mean? It does a little
Cuphead and mug man.
Yeah, it's 100%. Like, if you go back to that video, for instance, like, I'm sat on this couch and I'm saying, for my money, you know, I think the grind's going to be fine. You know, I've got so much currency, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, because the payouts were good.
Because the payouts were good then. Yeah. But like I said, it makes those reviews, it makes those comments in reviews now invalidated. And that's what the huge issue is. It's the fact that people have got in bought in on the idea of one thing, and that's been changed now that they're part of this system.
Yeah, and like speaking, I'll just say this completely personally. I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone other than myself, but I think this is the scummiest thing that you can do. Right? This reminded me of when Konami did it with Metal Gear Solid 5, and the idea of changing certain values, certain amounts, certain ways that microtransactions work after the review period. Once you've banked those scores, you get to bank all that positive press, you get to take all those positive quotes, you get to share your game out and get all those day one sales, and then you have a nice sizable audience to go in there and tweak all the different amounts and get more money out of them. Mine the love for the game and extract the money. And that thing annoys the living hell out of me. Like I said, Konami did it with Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
It is, for me, one of the, if not the scummiest practice you could possibly do in the gaming space.
And I mean, we've called this out so many times before, like you said, with Konami, with Activision especially, doing this for the Crash Team Racing remaster. You know, they've, or in Call of Duty, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. they've had a history of this. And to see Sony kind of following in the footsteps of Konami, mm-hmm. of Activision, like that's not... Those aren't the shoes I would want Sony to be wearing, is what I'm saying.
Also, you know, they tried this before. They tried to do this with Destruction All-Stars, where it was that game was going to be a premium product, and then it was going to be a free-to-play thing, which came out on PlayStation Plus. And then they started charging individual amounts for individual story chapters after giving you the first one to sort of set you on your way. That was rightfully called out. You can go check out the video that we did on that, too. Because this practice doesn't belong in a premium product. Yeah. It just does not.
Yeah, 100%. And this is obviously compounded by the fact that when you do boot up Gran Turismo, like one of the first things you see is the currency kind of itself and a little comment saying that you can buy more on the marketplace, you know. And you've got that combined with the weird roulette system. There's a roulette system in Gran Turismo 7, if you didn't know, where you unlock roulette tickets to spin the wheel.
Very 2K style.
Very 2K style to get rewards like maybe a new car. Mm. But more often than not, it's like a pittance.
It's never any...
I've never got the new car. No, and I'll be playing for hours.
Not a single player, as far as I know, looking at all these various social threads, have said they've been gifted anything like this in those roulette.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And the thing is, like, that's not like a loot box in the conventional sense, you know. At the moment, I don't think you're paying for, you know, spins on that or anything, but it's just kind of like that, in my eyes, a free-to-play mentality there.
Yes.
You know, the fact that you're spinning for these things, the fact that you're on this kind of treadmill of, you know, taking a risk and unlocking content, mm-hmm. you know, having to grind it up, mm-hmm. that to me, I don't like it. But to go back to what you mentioned previously about mm-hmm. the quote, yeah, that comes from the president of Polyphony, Kazunori Yamauchi, who said, quote, in GD7, 7, I would like to have users enjoy lots of cars and races even without microtransactions.
So would we.
At the same time, the pricing of cars is an important element that conveys their value and rarity, so I do think it's important for it to be linked with the real world prices. He went on to say that he's kind of disappointed that this has happened now and that there's something of a backlash because they do have content in place to alleviate this, apparently. You know, new updates to tracks and races and what have you.
Right.
But those aren't there now, and we don't know when they're going to come or what they're going to look like, which to me, you know, if they wanted to even reflect real world pricing to begin with, why wasn't that there for launch? Why did that come 2 weeks after the fact? If this was so important to them, in my eyes, that should be something they should have had locked down.
It should have been part of the overall marketing thing. Obviously, there's a weird way to try and advertise the fact that you're going to have a way more strenuous economy, let's say, in regards to the pricing of the cars themselves. But none of that stuff was flagged in any capacity whatsoever. It just is one of those things where, I mean, look, to give them a potential way out, I wonder, and it's just me wondering this, if they do have various deals with the likes of McLaren and Ford and whoever, to price their cars in that way. Like, I wonder if that's coming from the licensing side and not Polyphony or not Sony or not Jim Ryan sticking his head around the door and just saying, can you crank it all up, lads? And to make as much money as possible. I wonder if that's something that has come into place on the licensing side. And obviously, Yamauchi wouldn't be able to say anyway because all that stuff would be embargoed, NDA'd, whatever. So still doesn't explain the complete lack of clarity in regards to how it's all rolled out.
We don't know why this has happened now. Like, we don't know who kind of pushed the button on this. Was it Polyphony?
Big lever.
Who pulled the big microtransaction grind?
The big
lever. Get the lift up. We don't know.
Part of that quote as well is that he doesn't want people falling back on mechanically replaying the same events over and over again, which people are obviously doing. You know, and I honestly, it's one of the things that I hate the most in modern gaming. I hate the whole, you know, where's the spreadsheet for this game? Okay, if you do 5 of this, you get this. Well, do 10 of this, you'll get this. I hate the fact that you have to mathematically work out how to just play a game.
Right.
Like, I get that there's like, you know, there's obviously min-maxing RPGs, there's different strategies per game, whatever. I don't have a problem with them, obviously. My issue is just the fact that you just want to go and have a few races on a Gran Turismo game, and it's like, well, you should actually be spending your time this way because you really want to make sure you're doing this and doing that. Just play the games.
Yeah, man. And you know, you mentioned obviously they're very different games. You know, Forza Horizon 5 is very different in what it wants to accomplish than Gran Turismo 7. But looking purely at their reward system, when I play Forza Horizon 5, I feel like I'm being rewarded like every 30 seconds or something. Yeah. Every time I complete a race, I feel like, you know, I'm building towards something. I'm getting a new car, I'm getting something else. Mm-hmm. Whereas now in Gran Turismo 7, that reward system has been elongated, and that is kind of just, it feels artificial in the same way that the Avengers felt artificial when after the fact the grinding and the XP and the leveling up in that game was extended, and people hated that there. It was a huge backlash, they had to take it out. Like, artificially extending the grind is just, to me, it's like, the customers, the players, the fans deserve better than this. They don't want their time wasted.
No.
I don't think so.
There's always a feeling, you can tell with each individual game, there's always a feeling that you are being taken advantage of in regards to your time, in regards to your love for a certain product or whatever it is. And this feels like it's walked right over that line. Like, a lot of people immediately said, well, this isn't, like, even the pricing for specific cars has changed. There's a general feeling to Gran Turismo 7 that feels like your time is being abused, rather like Chocobo GP, which just hits you with, do you want to buy this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to buy this? Like, it's just, it's a horrible feeling to any sort of, like I said, premium experience.
So, and like you alluded to at the start, you know, like this has been responded to by the fans. There has been a huge backlash over the weekend. You know, VGC reported that this is the worst reviewed Sony game on the user side now. Yeah. Like, if you go on the Metacritic, it's got like 2.5 out of 10.
Well, it doesn't feel like a Sony game. Like, if they're staking their claim with Horizon and Opulence and all these big, gorgeous AAA experiences, and Gran Turismo 7 is that, until it's really not.
I've got a question for you, Scott Hill.
Go on.
Is this what Sony wants their games to be, though? As we know, they have just bought Bungie. They are going all in on this live service gimmick. Like, they want live services going forward. Is this their first test to see what they can get away with? And I know they've had microtransactions in their games before, all the way back to, like, The Last of Us 1, the Uncharted multiplayer and stuff like that, but it's never felt this egregious. It's never had this level of backlash on the Metacritic side and the user side.
Well, it's the post-review changing of the thing you thought you were buying into. That's the specific, crystallized as a sentence. That's the thing that I despise. Like, a lot of people hate that. Because there's a level of trust that you're going in with.
What? I'm annoyed with you. You just ruined like 10 minutes of video because you just done it in one sentence. Like,
Hey, if they're sticking around this long, then they're the anomaly on the YouTube algorithm anyway, so thank you very much for sticking with us. But yeah, I think that's the thing. It's that idea of the way that you market your games. And again, microtransactions, we've reported on them so much.
Yeah.
It's not that they're inherently bad. They can be a way to sustain a team. But I think that is massively juxtaposed against the fact that in this case, you're charging 70 English pounds to get through the door in the first place. There is also the tweet from 2013, which a lot of people have dredged up. Sony, the official account, the PlayStation account, said a PS4 game will never need to be always online to be able to play. Well, you've messed that up as well, haven't you? I can't swear on YouTube.
You can't swear. You're not allowed to swear. Don't
no,
swear.
You've it.
We'll get that's better.
Put up the walls.
No, you are right, man. Like, this is a very different Sony than what we're dealing with from 2013. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that this is something of a wake up call. Like, they get the fact that they can't do this, and hopefully they'll stop trying to change things like this.
Well,
and
the thing is,
grindy after the fact.
True. The thing is, I do think it's interesting the response to it. I think if this was a third party product, like if it was an Ubisoft, it would have been lambasted a hell of a lot more. An Ubisoft comparison for me is what they did with For Honor, where people calculated how much time they would need to invest to get all of the steel, was the currency in that game, to unlock everything in that game, and it was hundreds, I mean it might have been thousands of hours, and Ubisoft eventually responded to it, changed the grind. For Honor is actually weirdly successful, it's getting another update this year, but they had to respect fans' time and consumers and everything, and I feel like Sony are just seeing what they can get away with, because they are this big, you know, behemoth in the space. Horizon's doing very well, reviewed very well. They can kind of just slink these things in. If it is Sony, it could be Polyphony, could be the licenses, could be whatever. Point is, it's us that has to bear the brunt of it. It's us that has to look at a pricing model that encourages you to pay your way through a game.
Yeah.
Rather than just play the nice shiny car game on your new PlayStation 5.
It's the pros and cons, I suppose, of games being like living, breathing things now, like constantly get updated.
And
the
yet
game
they're
that
so
played.
Dead. It's so dead. It's a weird zombified version of something you thought you were going to have a laugh with.
That's brutal. I'm nothing optimistic to counter that with. I think that's the end.
I think that's the tone it should end on. I think they need to get stuff changed. Hopefully the amount of Metacritic bombing, the amount of conversations happening on social media, and videos like this go some way to helping in the long run, because this is a horrible state for something like Gran Turismo to be in. Let us know what you think down in the comments below if you bought into Gran Turismo 7, or if you're going to hold off and wait until things blow over. For now, I've been Scott from MuggleCulture.com.
I mean, John. From what culture.
Please fix the game and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.